Hi everyone, Andrew here again, out and about for a walk around Lao Cai here in Vietnam. After doing no podcast uploads, I'm on my second one of the day. I just thought I'd do it this way. I've done a video for YouTube, which I'll upload to YouTube later on. But I thought I'd just do a separate one where it's just my audio. I can just walk around with my headphones on and the mic's recording, and I could just talk about whatever I'm seeing. Obviously with a podcast generally you don't get to see what I'm seeing. I see a lot of YouTube channels that do podcasts in a studio and record at the same time, but I've not seen anybody really doing, I suppose you get a lot of vlogs, don't you, where people are walking around videoing, but I'm not sure many of them actually upload it to podcasts at the same time, you know, taking the audio, extract the audio and uploading it, mainly because they're talking about what they see in front of them, whereas now I'm just walking around, but I'm just recording my audio part, which I can upload. For those that are into podcasting, I'm just using the Spotify Podcasters app, which I can't remember what it was called before. I think it was called Anchor. I've used that for a couple of years now, and I used to do my videos for YouTube and then I would just upload the audio and just send it out there. But I don't know, podcasts are growing, aren't they? I seem to see there's a lot more podcasts out there than there used to be. And certainly all the major, let's say, influencers or content creators are also doing podcasts. I think they see it as a great way of marketing their other channels where they might make some money from it. I don't think podcasting on its own is a great source of any revenue for anybody. It's just a good supplementary way of promoting other things that they have, almost like a marketing for maybe books or channels that do pay, YouTube, etc. Or even their businesses that they have, and they're just talking about the things that's going on related to that. And yeah, for those that don't know, I'm a golf professional. Been a golf professional since I actually turned pro in 1993, age 17. Did a year at college and was very lucky to get an opportunity to be an assistant golf professional at a golf course in Manchester called Didsbury Golf Club. Actually working for my coach at the time, who was the county coach, a guy called Peter Barber. Nice guy, had a great 3 years I think I was at Didsbury. Did my PGA training through Pete. And one of the things I'd forgotten but just recently remembered was we had two assistants working in the shop, working a 6 day week. But as long as one was in the shop, the other one could actually be outside practicing or playing. And I just thought, what a great way to introduce a young guy into playing golf. Obviously working and having to work your way up through the training and the business side of the golf industry, but still being able to maintain your golfing ability to be able to practice and play. And I thought that was a great thing. I completely forgotten about that. And during those 3 years, I really worked hard on my game. And interestingly, since qualifying, I've done a lot less practice and play. Bizarre. I've been chatting to somebody who was a friend at the golf course where I used to be when I was a kid. He's recently got back into, he's always been a golfer, but he played professionally for a while. Now he's started doing his PGA training, at the other end of his sort of career. And he's having challenges of not playing as much as he used to, and he's asking me about it. And, you know, that's just the way it is. You work in an industry, for example, golf, you might work in the golf industry, but you don't play golf very often. And you're around other people that do, and it can drive you a little bit crazy because all you want to do is get out and play golf yourself. It's just interesting on that, to be honest. And over the years, I've done many, many jobs in the industry. Had my own business as a club professional at a golf course, so I had a golf shop that was my own stock. I provided that stock and made money from that, and enjoyed a little bit of teaching at the time and doing various things. It was like an all-rounder job. And then became a full-time coach and went back into operations when I moved to Dubai and worked at Emirates Golf Club and worked at some new courses around the world in Baku, Azerbaijan, back to the UAE where I was at Al Hamra Golf Course, as the GM there, and then went to Vietnam for the first time and worked as the managing director of the Els Golf Academy in Hanoi. Had 4 years there, and then moved back again to the UAE. A very brief stint at Abu Dhabi Golf Club as the director of golf, and then worked for Pro Sports International on the other side of the fence, let's say. So this time I was working for an import company, a wholesaling company, who also actually operated golf shops in the UAE. Pretty much 90% of all golf shops in the UAE are operated by Pro Sports. So not only did they import products and were the license holders for some of the major companies like Titleist and Ping and FootJoy, and they also were retailers as well. So that was a nice chance to see things from the other side. I've always been in charge of retail from being a general manager and having my own golf shop, but actually seeing things from a wholesaling side of things was interesting. And then managed to get a job as the general manager here back in Vietnam, and I've been here since December. I'm up in the north region of I'm north of Hanoi, I'm in the north of Vietnam, 4.5 hours away from Hanoi itself, in a place called Lao Cai, and I'm working at Sapa Grand Golf Course. And Lao Cai is an interesting town, beautiful place, much more quiet than Hanoi where I was before, but it's very close to the Fansipan Mountains, the mountains that people would people travel up to Sapa, which is a town at the foot of the Fansipan Mountain. And I went there a couple of weeks back, went up to the top of the mountain, had a great time. But yeah, it's a good region. It's just a bit far away from the major city, for example, 4 or 5 hours from Hanoi. But I'm enjoying that. Yeah, golf industry, interesting. It's not the most highest paid industry in the world, but it's good to be able to be involved in your hobby. And good to be able to be around people that are generally having a good time when they come to play golf. Obviously also being around people who want to get better, whether you're coaching the game or you're helping service staff to improve. It's just always great to be in this industry. I think it's a growing industry around the world. Countries like Vietnam are building more and more golf courses, and as they do, they're looking for the expertise from overseas, like myself, to come in and give them advice as best you can, with the ultimate goal of them running their own facilities in the future and developing their own local talent in management, etc. So I enjoy that. It's good. But yeah, played a little bit of golf since I've been here as well, which is interesting. Not played much last year. Going through the summer in the UAE is tough, it's very hot, and then coming out of the winter and then basically moving back to Vietnam. But the weather's been good here in Lao Cai, so I've managed to play, I'm going to say, 4 rounds or so since I've been back. Doesn't sound a lot, does it, when you've gone from being a young kid playing 1 or 2 rounds every day to playing once a month, twice a month. Like I say, that's the industry, you know. Sometimes when it's your day off, the last thing you want to do is actually play golf. I'm sure it's the same in many industries. If it's a hobby and then it becomes your job, other than, say, a playing professional in that activity. But still enjoy the game, still watch golf on the television, still watch instructional videos, and still love that side of things. And I've kept my coaching abilities up there over the years. Even when I've been management, I've been still looking at golfing instructional stuff and done online trainings. And with everything moving towards modern technology like TrackMan and other launch monitors, and certainly now as we go forward, this AI revolution is going to be big in the golf industry. Just not sure where that will be yet or how it will come about, but I'm certainly imagining somebody being able to film their own golf swing and being able to get AI driven information of how they can improve the golf swing, especially with these large language models, being able to look at thousands, yet millions of combinations of moves and swings, and being able to give you the best route to improving your golf step by step. I can see AI doing that for sure, and it's those that adapt to that that will be successful in the future. And maybe it's these sort of indoor facilities that can adapt to that and have that technology. They're already using launch monitors and simulators and things. It's not a big step to go from that to having AI coaching. It's like every industry, it's going to affect the people working in the industry. But for those that understand AI and for those that understand how it's going to work and how it can benefit any particular industry, that's going to be valuable. I mean, it's the same everything, isn't it? Marketing, accountancy, everything is going to be affected by AI. And those that adapt will be successful. And those that fight it will ultimately fall by the wayside, I believe. I just see so much happening now in AI. And obviously all of this technology has been developed years ago that's only just recently coming out to the public. And it's amazing what will already be in the background, ready to come out in the next 3 or 4 years, that will just benefit many, many things, but also will cause issues for people who don't adapt or can't adapt or won't adapt. Yeah, just interesting subjects. You know, I'm learning as much as I can about them, and, you know, seeing Apple releasing the Vision Pro headset and seeing how that can possibly be used within golf. I've seen people already hitting golf shots wearing that headset, and I think there's a potential for that somehow when those headsets get smaller, that you can wear them and use it in some way to help benefit, whether it's to give you distances to targets, whether it's to be able to see your golf swing from multiple angles, to be able to understand what needs to improve, whether it's to improve the content that we see on the television when we're watching the golf. There's a lot coming out, I think, and that's just the starting point. When a big company like Apple gets behind it, you know that they generally only get involved in something if they know it's going to be the next thing, let's be honest. They must have many, 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 many things running in the background that we may never, ever see. But when things catch on, they're already ready to go. So just interested in that and how it'll benefit my industry, golf industry, both on a professional level and also on a playing or a hobby level, how it will make the game potentially more fun. This rollback they're talking about with the golf ball and basically limiting how far the golf ball can go, which I think, to be honest, there is already some limits in place in the rules, but it's mainly been around the golf club. But it has been, you know, they dictate what size and weight a golf ball needs to be, and in that sense will affect the distance. But the roll back the technology to a bygone era of such, and it limits how far the ball will go. But that's fine. I mean, the golf courses will just need to reflect those technology changes and still have to get the ball in the hole in the least number of shots, and whoever does that is the winner. So the fundamental game won't change. Hitting the ball further is fun. That's part of the game, isn't it? But just hitting the ball straight is really what it's about. If you can hit the ball straight and from the middle of the club, you're going to maximize your distance anyway. If you hit the ball off center and the ball curves, it doesn't really matter what they do with that technology rollback as such. You're going to be limited how far your ball's going anyway. And honestly, if the ball's spinning and it's going offline, I don't think it's going to go less distance because of the rollback. So those people won't see much of a difference. It's the ones that hit it from the middle and hit it out of the centre of the club face every time and do hit it straight and with the most energy and most efficiency. They will be the ones that will see the rollback. They'll see definite number changes. But they'll also be the ones that will be able to adapt and change pretty quickly. Because where you might lose in one aspect, i.e. maybe distance, you might gain in other aspects like spin around the greens, control of the ball, workability, whatever it might be, might improve because of those changes. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And obviously time will tell. It'll be a couple of years before it gets into the pro game, and even a few more years after that before the amateurs have to make that adjustment. And before you know it, they won't have a choice anyway, because all the manufacturers will be making those restricted golf balls. So stockpiling your balls will only work for a certain time, and they'll be made illegal in tournaments anyway. But hey, that's it. Things move forward. This feels like it's moving backwards, but I'm sure there's method behind what appears to be madness. I'm just not far away from my hotel right now, and I just thought I'd sit down on the bench and carry on my talking, but there's lots of things going on in the world, isn't there? And some of it just seems magical, you know, these AI things. You know, the ability to be able to record your voice and have that become text has been around for years, and the opposite now, being able to type text and have it turn into voice. AI pictures, you tell it what it wants, it'll draw it for you. You tell it what scene you want, it'll create a video for you. But all of this is coming from the available database that's already out there. And I always thought a long, long time ago that someone could create a computer that contained all the, it sounds a bit crazy, but all the letters in the alphabet and all possible words and sentence structures, and be able to create a book from that, and therefore technically be able to write any book that's ever been written, and any book that's going to be written based on having that data. And the same with music, there's only a certain amount of music notes available, and being able to put that into a computer and it produce music. Again, any music that's ever been produced, any music that will be produced, would already be available in that computer. It's getting very close to that as a reality, based on AI, large language models and spatial computing, or whatever you want to call it. It's just very, very interesting. Anyway, I'll leave you all with those thoughts. I'm just going to head back to the hotel now, chill out a little bit, and edit my video that I'll be posting on YouTube. I'm having fun messing around with my DJI Osmo Pocket 2 camera, and playing around with the settings and see what works and what doesn't work, and trying to think of some good topics to talk about. But that's all good fun and games. Anyway, take care, everybody. I'll see you all again soon for another awesome update.